Come on, let's worship him. Lord Jesus, there's nothing better than you, Lord God. There's nothing better than you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen, amen, praise God. It's so exciting to be here. Thank you so much for showing up today and worshiping with us. It's wonderful to have Sister Hannah, your friend there. God bless you. Wonderful to have you all here today. And praise the Lord. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I did want to make a couple announcements real quick while you're still standing. Right now, we're in the middle of a theme. It's called Revival in My Pocket. And the point of this is just a reminder that we're not waiting on revival, right? Revival's already here, praise God. Revival's in my pocket. What does revival look like? Revival looks like this week I had the opportunity to teach 3 Bible studies. Hallelujah. That's revival right there. Amen. Praise God. Now, I didn't get a chance to ask, but nobody told me. Anybody else teach a Bible study this week? All right. Listen, guys, I need you to teach Bible studies. I need you to get out there. Hallelujah. Because this is how people grow. And when people grow, the church will grow. Everybody shout amen. And if you've never been taught a Bible study, what I mean by Bible study is something that goes from beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. An understanding of the Word of God. You've not been taught something like that, please talk to us. We will send somebody to your home and teach you a Bible study. Again, what could go wrong? I love what Sister Hannah said to me yesterday. She said, I'll never turn down more of the Word. Hallelujah. What could go wrong? Just maybe you learn something new. You grow in your walk with God. This is how we fulfill the commission right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus says to go and preach the gospel unto every creature. But then he also said this, teaching them whatsoever I command you. That's a much bigger task than just go preach the gospel. That means that it takes a little bit more to help people grow and disciple and become stable and have knowledge of the Word of God. That requires us to teach them all of the Word. And this right here, somebody say amen today. Part of revival in our pocket is that we are doing every month some sort of outreach event. That's a lot of work on us, but man, we're ready for revival. Hallelujah. And if labor is all that's waiting, then I'm going to put in the labor to make it happen. Hallelujah. Our first event is movie night at Higher Purpose. This is an exciting event. I know it's already been announced, but let me give you a little bit more details. We've got flyers, beautiful looking flyers just like this for you to pass out. For you to put up in stores on their windows, things like that. I love it. I'd love it if you would do this. Help pass these out. If you know of any local pastors or you got connections with other churches, invite them to come to it. This is a fundraiser as well as an outreach event, or else we wouldn't be charging money. But we are trying to raise funds for the church as well, so it's $5 a ticket. We wanted it to be affordable so even the Josephs could come with their army. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They've got 15 kids. Actually, that was seriously part of the debate. We said, well, maybe we should take it up to 10. We're like, man, that'd be an expensive night for the Josephs. We really said that. I'm sure they can afford it, but we didn't want to have to make them afford it. We wanted it to be affordable for every family, no matter how big or small. So we made the price $5. When's the last time you went to see a movie in the movie theater for $5? Yeah, it probably is. It hasn't happened. So please come. Please invite people. Again, use this as an opportunity to get people to come to church who you know otherwise wouldn't come to church. I've been telling my coworkers it's a fundraiser. If they know it's a fundraiser, they'll come support it. Even if they, you know, they don't know that we're also just wanting to get them in the building and befriending them and loving on them. So use it as an opportunity to invite people. It's going to be a fun night no matter what. It's going to be a great night. Somebody say amen. Let me make this announcement. This is important. If you have not heard anything up to this point, listen to this. Doors open at 6:30. Movie begins at 7. All right, you come 7:05, you're going to miss the beginning of the movie. All right, we're starting the movie strictly at 7. Please make sure you come before that so you don't miss the movie or any part of the movie. All right, I know for church, sometimes church think, all right, service starts at 7, so if I'm there around 7:15, we're all good. Well, then you miss the beginning of service. I don't want you to miss the beginning of the movie, so make sure you come somewhere between 6:30 to 7. Get yourself a seat. I hope that we fill this place out. I hope we got to bring in chairs from out in the fellowship hall to put them in here. That's my hope. So just be aware of that. Come, make sure you're here before 7 so you don't miss it. You got plenty of time to get your popcorn. We're going to have popcorn. We're going to have candy bars, canned sodas, things like that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody excited? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Why don't we turn real quick to Acts chapter 2. I know nobody knows where we're heading. Nobody's familiar with Acts chapter 2 around here. We're not going to Acts 2:38 just yet. We'll probably cover that at some point. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. If you know it, read it with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. What an experience they had on the day of Pentecost. Right now, why don't you go ahead and pray, Lord, we want that experience here in our day. We want to feel you. We want to experience the Holy Ghost. We want to experience Jesus today. I ask that you would pour out your Spirit and anointing. Speak to us, Lord God. Touch us by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you clap your hands one more time before you're seated? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to do something dangerous. I'm going to come down off the platform. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that my walk with God is not based upon knowledge alone. I'm so thankful. You know, Jesus said that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What he's saying is that though we come to an understanding of God, we should pursue an understanding of God. How do we get that? Bible studies, right? We come to an understanding of God, we should pursue to know what the Word of God says. The Bible says that His Word is true from the beginning. So I want to search out an understanding of God. It is a privilege to be able to know what God thinks. It's a privilege to be able to study the Word of God and to know I am studying the words of God. Isn't that what the Bible claims? Amen? You know, it is the only religious book, to my understanding, right? I could be wrong on this, but to my understanding, it's the only religious book that actually claims to be the literal words of God. Everything else is a man interpreting the words of God, claiming the words of God, but the Bible says that it is the Word of God. Men spake as they were moved of what? The Holy Ghost. And they begin to write these words. When you're reading the Bible, you're reading the literal words of our God and our Savior. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, they had the Word, the law. In the Old Testament, they had the words of the prophets who would speak the words of God. However, they had to hang their entire belief system upon the words of a man and upon just simply the words of God. They could not testify, except for those who experienced miracles and signs and wonders. They could not testify that they knew God on a personal level. They could not testify that they had experienced God. Listen, I'm so thankful today that I've experienced God. Today, I'm talking about experiencing Jesus. I'm thankful today that I don't need to just hear about the Word. I can feel Jesus in this house. I can experience His presence. I know that He's not just somebody's figment of imagination, but I have experienced His touch for myself. Anybody else experience Jesus today? I was overseas. Many of you have heard this testimony before. Some of you have not. I was overseas. I was in, it was Australia. Praise God. It was a different country. We went from Australia to it. I can't think of it right now. But it was near Australia that we were there. Yes, New Zealand. Who said that? Yes, thank you, brother. I was in New Zealand on a missions trip. This was when I was a teenager, all right? Don't judge me. This is when I was a teenager. I was wearing a Superman shirt. But I was, you know, I was churching it up. I wore a shirt with a Superman symbol and in a suit coat over it. Right? I was stylish, praise God. I was also single. So I was trying a little too hard. But we were overseas and we were preaching. We were walking down the street near this mall. It was just myself and a friend of mine. And all of a sudden, I hear off in the distance, Superman! Superman, come save me! And so we walk up. There was about three gentlemen sitting on these stairs. It was down in like the downtown area. They were sitting on these stairs. And I just walk up to them. I say, hey, guys, what you need? So we need you to save us. Now, well, how can I save you? They said, we need drugs. I said, oh boy, you just called on the right Superman. I said, well, I don't have any drugs, but I got something much better. Don't you know we got something much better? Hallelujah. I'm going to need some help today because I've never done drugs. I can testify. I have never drank alcohol, never tasted it. I can testify about that. There are some people here today, you've not had that experience. You might be able to testify to this more than I can. The presence of God is better than drugs. The presence of God is better than alcohol. And you better believe I learned that without ever tasting it. Because once I experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, I never needed to try anything else. Jesus was enough for me. His presence was enough for me. His spirit was enough for me. Anybody else can testify and say, I've experienced Jesus and he is enough for me. So I told him, I don't have any drugs. I said, but I got something much better than that. I start preaching him Jesus right there on the side of the road, preaching to him Jesus. They're laughing at us. They're smirking at us. They're cracking jokes. And I said, look, I can see that you don't believe in Jesus. I said, oh, no, he's made up. I don't believe in Jesus. That's all just, you know, people's imagination. I said, all right. Said, I told him, my relationship with Jesus is based on personal experience. And if he has revealed himself to me, I believe he's going to reveal himself to you. Would you mind if I prayed for you? I believe if I will, you will feel the presence of God and you will experience his spirit right here. He looked at me and he laughed me. He just laughed and laughed. He said, okay, fine. I'll take you up on that. He said, that's a challenge to me. I said, oh boy, what did I get myself into? Praise God. Now God's better show up now. I said, all right. I said, so I'm going to pray for you. I said, but here's the thing. You got to genuinely pray. You can't just, you know, sit there. You need to really focus on Jesus. And I promise you, God will touch you. I turned around to tell my friend, we're going to pray for him. I had no idea that about 40 of the members that came with us on that missions trip had gathered behind us. I said, oh boy, thank you, Jesus. I asked him, I said, can I put my hand on your head? He said, no. I said, all right, I don't need to. I said, but you got to close your eyes and you got to think about Jesus. You got to pray. He said, all right. He closed his eyes and he was smiling. I said, all right, guys, let's pray. We started praying in the name of Jesus. We started inviting the presence of God right there on the side of the street. And I saw that smile turned into a confused look on his face. I had my eyes open the whole time. He started looking real confused. Then all of a sudden it turned into a scowl. He sat there just like this, like that. Then he opened his eyes. Real big, looked at me. He stood up and he ran away as fast as he possibly could. Praise God. I'm telling you, Jesus reveals himself. Hallelujah. If you will close your eyes and begin to pray in this place, the Holy Ghost is here. The Lord will touch you. He will pour out His Spirit upon you, and you will experience Him like you've never experienced Him before. Somebody testify and say amen. That's the reason why you can just be talking to somebody about Jesus, and all of a sudden a teardrop starts streaming down their face. What's happening? They're experiencing something in the Holy Ghost. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I don't know why I'm crying. I'll tell them, I know why you're crying. It's because you feel Jesus. It's because you're having an experience. My relationship with God is not just based on truth. It's also based on experience of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God today. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, you bring experiences to the people who are around you. I had a coworker just the other day, I believe it was Friday. She said, Aaron, every time you come to work, there's just a joy comes here. She says, you just make everybody else happy and feeling better. And I said, well, I feel like I'm half asleep and grouchy most of the time. I don't see how that's possible. Praise God. But when you've got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, every place you go, Jesus is going there with you. Praise God, you bring the experience and the power of God. Oh, I'm here to tell you, lives will be changed when you walk into a room because you've got Jesus living in you and He walks in with you. Everybody say, times are changing. Before, our society was based on truth. Before, our society had a fear of God. The Bible was the source of truth. And even if they felt it or didn't feel it, they could live for God just simply based on the Word. And listen, there comes a point in your walk with God where you need that, right? Because there's going to be times when you're not going to feel Him as strongly. Anybody else can say amen to that, right? There's going to be times where you're not hanging from the chandeliers or the fans, hallelujah. Right? There's going to be services where it's not blowing out. We're not running the aisles. And at that point, you need faith in the truth and the Word of God to ground you. Praise the Lord. But our society today has changed. We have become, along with being a more carnal, worldly society, at the same time, we've become a more spiritual society. More people are open to experiencing God than ever before. It's true. Now, why do you think people are obsessed with Harry Potter and goblins and ghosts and all those things? Why do you think those things dominate our culture? Magic dominates our culture. It's because they're in pursuit of experiences that are otherworldly. And they can go on all those different sources, and they might be able to get a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. Hallelujah. I'm just thankful that I serve a God that's not afraid to reveal Himself and to give people experiences that are undeniable, that are powerful, that are recognizable. Hallelujah. That'll change people's lives. Brothers and sisters, we can't be content with just coming to church. This world can't have a church that's content with just hearing a little sermon and then going home. Every single time I walk through that room, that door, I need to be pursuing the experience of the Holy Ghost. I need to be reaching for God. I need to be preparing for the Lord to reveal himself and to do a healing and perform a miracle and to do a sign. Why is that? Because it's all right to see signs. Hallelujah, it's all right. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's going to be recognizable. Oh, hallelujah, somebody worship the Lord right now. Oh, come on, church. We need people who are desperate for an experience. Desperate for an experience. The Bible says, don't you know? He's close enough. He's just at a grasp's reach. What that means is if I will pursue him, if I'll reach for him, if I'll just shut down the world, turn it off for a few minutes, he will reveal himself. He'll manifest his presence. You didn't come to see me. Oh, you didn't come to see me. You came to see him. You came to experience him. When they were in one accord, in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Every service we should pursue that experience right there of the Holy Ghost being poured out. Oh. I didn't plan on saying all this. You can be seated, but stay in prayer. Stay sensitive. I didn't plan on going into all this, but I feel a hunger today. And I'm here to tell you that hunger shall be filled. I had just come back to Christ. I had set my heart to pursue him with all that I had. I had tried to do it before. Halfway. Sorry, if you go halfway, you'll stay halfway. I don't know any other way to do this but 100%. So I set my heart and I told God I'm doing this 100%. I didn't care if my friends were going to do it, and they weren't. I didn't care if I had to go down to the altar alone, and I did. I was desperate for something real. I had already at 14 years old experienced everything in this world that I needed to experience. I was searching for something otherworldly, something higher. So I started pursuing him. I had had experience after experience going to church. God was blessing me and using me, and I'd repented, and God filled me with His Spirit again, and it was just an incredible thing. About 5-6 months after going to church just full time and just really pursuing God, man, I was hungry. I said, God, I want more. I told him, I want an experience. Praise the Lord, my friend. Good to see you, William. Hallelujah. Happy you were able to come today. Hallelujah. I said, I want more. So I went into my bedroom at my parents' house. I locked the door because I shared a bedroom with my brother. And I didn't want him to come in. I lit a candle. I got down on my bed. It was up against the wall. I knelt down on my bed, put my head in the sheets, and I just started praying. And I said, God, I want to see something. I want a new experience in you. I want to witness something in the Spirit. I said, if you don't do it, it's okay, but I'm hungry for more. And I sat there for about 15 minutes and I told him, God, I just want more. I want to see something. I want to experience something. I want something new to happen to me. Listen, if you'll pray it, He'll do it. If you set your heart toward it, He'll make it happen, because He's not a God that's afraid to reveal Himself. I know He's the only invisible wise God, but He's got enough wisdom to know how to give us experiences in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I was praying, and all of a sudden, I felt like somebody walked into my room. Anybody ever felt that way? Like you just got a chill bump? And it was like you could feel a presence in your room. I could feel it. Something walked into my room. Still had my head burrowed into the sheets. Something spoke to me and said, turn around. Well, at that point, I had no idea what I'd be seeing if I turned around. I was afraid to death. I had no idea. Here I am sitting here saying, God, I want to see. God, I want to see. He's allowing me to see, and I'm too afraid to look at it. Isn't that how it is, though? I want more. I want to experience. But then when it actually happens, oh, that's uncomfortable. Teaching my friend William Sebastian a Bible study a couple weeks ago, one of their housemates said it feels uncomfortable when the Spirit of God comes in. Yeah, it feels uncomfortable. That's the presence of a higher power visiting you. If your flesh feels comfortable, something's not right. I was so afraid. I was shaken. I probably sat there. It felt like 20 minutes before I finally mustered up enough courage to turn around. And I know some people are going to label me crazy. You can do that if you want to. But when I mustered up enough experience and I turned around, I saw with my eyes an angel standing in my room. You hear that awkward golf clap? Everybody's afraid to clap on that. Oh, did he say angel? When you're hungry for God, He'll give you experiences that are undeniable. There's an angel standing right there in my room. I got an opportunity to talk to it. That angel told me his name and told me that he was sent with the responsibility to watch over me. Yes, I do believe that God sends guardian angels to watch over us. I started to praise him. I said, thank you. Thank you. He stopped me. He said, don't thank me. Thank the one that sent me. So I began to worship God and say, thank you, Jesus, for an experience that is undeniable. As I sat there for what seemed like forever, that voice spoke to me again. It wasn't coming from the angel. It was the voice that I heard when I knelt down, and it asked me, do you want more? My first thought was, what in the world is more than an angel? I said, I want more. That voice said, blow the candle out. The only light in the room was a candle. Blow the candle out. Once again, I started shaking out of fear. I became too afraid. I couldn't get myself up. I was sitting on the bed at that point, up on my dresser. It was about this high was the candle. I was so scared and nervous. It took me another 15, 20 minutes before I finally got the courage. But when I did, it was one of those container candles where it had the lid. I took the lid and I placed it on the top of it so that the oxygen would go out, and that candle slowly began to die out. And as it did, and darkness came over the room, I saw that angel begin to glow with a bright light. It was so bright that at first I covered my eyes. It was so bright, but then I realized it actually wasn't hurting my eyes, so I could look on it. Everything in the room was lit up with this beautiful white light coming from that angel. I felt the presence of God stronger than I ever had. I sat back down onto my bed like this, and I began to worship. Oh, and I began to praise God with my eyes closed. At a certain point, though, I opened my eyes. There was a chair sitting right here, and I saw with my eyes a sword sitting on that chair, and it was glowing with the same light that the angel was glowing with. That voice spoke to me again and said, pick up the sword. I said, no. Listen, you want it until it's there. Then you're going to have to climb over about 15 mountains of faith before you're going to get there. Hallelujah. But he kept saying it, pick up the sword. I was shaking with my hand. I didn't know what was going to happen. How could I pick up? It was obviously a spiritual sword. It wasn't a literal sword. I didn't know, could I do that? Could I grab this sword? When I reached down, I placed my hand on the bottom of that sword. And when I did, my hand went perfectly over my Bible. To this day, I still have no idea how my Bible got there. To my knowledge, it was in the other room. It wasn't even in my room. But my hand, it was one of those like pocket Bibles, the small ones. My hand grabbed it. I picked it up like this. In my hand, I felt my Bible. But with my eyes, I could see a sword. And that angel lifted up his sword and he said, "This is my sword, and that is your sword. You are called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere you go, I will preach with you." Brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you is this. I'm not saying you got to see an angel, but I'm telling you it still happens. Jesus still reveals himself. Jesus still proves himself with signs and wonders. He still sends angels to those who are hungry. He will reveal himself. He'll give you experiences that are undeniable, and you'll be able to testify. He is real. He is real. Oh, somebody worship the Lord today. Oh, Tayata Kuraboso Taya. Ilianda Rio da Bacati andi. Oh, Hataraboso di. You do not have to see an angel. But God will give you an experience that's undeniable. God wants to give you an experience that's undeniable. If you believe that, clap your hands. I've felt it. I've had glimpses of thoughts, and I'm almost finished. I've had glimpses of thoughts like, it would be so amazing to have been there in that day to walk with Jesus. It'd been amazing to, like John, hang on the chest of Jesus Christ in love. Amazing to be able to see the marks in his hands and in his feet. It'd have been amazing to see him doing signs and wonders. And I can only imagine how the disciples felt when he told them he was going away. To have that relationship with Jesus, to be able to experience him in that way, it would have put a pit, a hole in them that I would not be able to touch him anymore, hear his physical, audible voice anymore. It would have put a lot of stress on them, knowing they were going to have to carry this gospel forth, continue to take the message with them, but this time they had to do it without the physical presence of their leader and their Messiah. It is under that circumstance that I believe John chapter 14 was written, where Jesus says, he comforts them with these words. He says, "I go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. For I send the promise of my Father upon you." Hallelujah. He tells them, "Yes, I am going away. Yes, you will not have me in the flesh as I am now, but it's not going to be that way forever, because I'm going to send something unto you, and it's going to be as if I am here in the flesh. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I may be going away. He says, but I will come unto you. What do you mean, Jesus? Hallelujah. He's about to go up into heavens. He's already died and risen again. And he tells them, I'm going away. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. What do you mean, Jesus? I'm not going to be here anymore. But I'm sending an experience upon you that is undeniable, that will change your life. And it's going to be different. But it's going to be an acknowledgement. I am still with you. Hallelujah. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. You guys know the rest. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. And what happened? They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. It tells us, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. What does he mean? He means that there's going to come a time where it's going to be different. It's not going to be as it was in Isaiah's day, and it wasn't going to be as it was in the disciples' day. But he would still speak, and he would still move, and you could still experience him. How's that? He's going to pour out his Spirit, and when it comes upon somebody, they're going to begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. It would be stammering lips and another tongue. Oh, come on now. This is the experience. This is the experience. That's why the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Just as much as we preach healing, we got to preach speaking with new tongues. Just as much as we preach miracles, we got to preach speaking with new tongues. It's an experience you can have right now, this morning. Oh, why don't you stand to your feet right now? Hallelujah. If you have no other experience in Christ, I'm going to boldly declare to you today, God wants you to have this experience. It's not about speaking in tongues, but it is the evidence that Jesus is now living inside of you. I don't have to question it. I don't have to wonder, does Jesus love me? I just spoke in tongues. You better believe Jesus loves me. Is Jesus real? I just spoke in tongues. You better believe Jesus is real. Come on now, this is an experience. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. Everybody say gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. This experience is a gift. We shouldn't look at it with disdain. You mean God wants me to do what? You mean I need to do this? No, you get to have this experience. It's a gift. And let me tell you, it's a gift he wants you to have. How do I know that? Because previously Jesus called the Holy Ghost the promise. Everybody say promise. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a promise. And look at verse 39. Verse 39 says this. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh. Listen, I want to speak in tongues. I can't make it happen. I can't teach you a sentence. I can't teach it to you. It's got to be experienced by Jesus Christ. But I want to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I want my kids to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I want you to speak in tongues and all who are afar off. Oh, how about we worship him for another moment? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for more? Oh, are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for signs and wonders and visions? Are you hungry for an experience in Jesus Christ? I don't care if you've been in the church for 40 years. Today you're going to have a new experience in Jesus Christ. If you will come down and you come down hungry, reaching, put in a little bit more effort in your worship and your prayer, you'll have an experience. Open up your heart. God, do something in me. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's a promise you can have this morning. It's a promise he wants you to have. I hope you felt him enough to where you know Jesus is in this place. And I pray he will draw you right now down to this altar.